Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
Guys, first, thank you very much for this interview. Wow. You know, there's always that one really good feel-good movie at TIFF every year, and this one has to be it. All I kept thinking was, when I kept watching this, is how did Disney not get a hold of this? When is Disney going to get a hold of this? You know, and who's going to play who in this movie? I haven't read a lot about the real synopsis behind it, but I wanted to know how you guys – I mean, how could you guys film something like this? And you wouldn't know what was going to happen. I mean, this is a documentary. You're following these kids and you know, on their journey. What was it supposed to be in the beginning and to what it actually ended up turning out to be?
Well, we found the story through an article about one of the players, O.C. Brown. That led us to Memphis to look at. There was an article in the local Memphis paper about him living with one of the volunteer coaches. And so that brought us to Memphis to look into it, and we met Bill Courtney, the volunteer head coach at Manassas. And Bill kind of – we met O.C., and then Bill told us about the history of him coaching at Manassas and the program they had built there. And started telling us a lot of stories of things that had happened throughout the years. And we kind of quickly realized, you know, if that was really the real story, O.C. would be one of the characters in that. But through his kind of anecdotes, you know, we realized we didn't know what would happen, but we knew if we went there and we committed our lives to moving there and just being available every day at every practice and just filming, interesting stuff would happen. Now, I don't think we could have ever expected the way that the narrative would actually play out. But, you know, it's – I think Tom Powers, the programmer here, the documentary programmer, always says it's – documentaries are 50% about luck and 50% about skill. And so, you know, we kind of – we got lucky, but I think we knew we wanted to make an intimate – film that would be highly emotional, and to do that, we knew it needed to be embed ourselves and be a very small crew. So it was just TJ and I and our producer Rich. We did pretty much everything on the film.
I think we went in going to knowing that we want, like Dan said, we wanted to make a intimate and personal film. And I don't think, you know, with maybe like some subtle emotional swells here and there, and I don't think we expected to have such high emotional, so such peaks, emotional peaks, and that definitely, I think that was definitely a surprise for us.
I mean, I'm so interested in what you guys cut out, you know, in this. How hard was it to choose what you felt was important to be into what you had to take out? Because there are some pretty raw scenes. I don't want to give too much away. Yeah. And, you know, and just the journey itself. I could imagine what you guys yourselves must have been feeling like in every game, because just from somebody watching, I was like, you know, one of the big cheerleaders myself.
Yeah, we actually had 500 hours of footage, and we actually stayed an additional 3 months in Memphis to start the post-production process, and I would sift through half the footage, and Dan would sift through the half, and then when we started cutting scenes, we'd swap scenes. So he would then cut the material that I went through, that I logged, and vice versa. And that's how we kind of eventually came to familiarize ourselves with all the material. But on set and in post, we kind of fell, as I think a lot of doc filmmakers do. You fall in love. You're already kind of in love with your characters, but then you fall in love with these moments, these really and we were really lucky in the sense that we captured some really once you capture someone's like idiosyncrasies, you want to be able to like, oh, that's so Bill or that's so Money, and you want to be able to profile every single time you see that. And then to actually make the decision of cutting some of that stuff out, a lot of that we found once we started finding the themes of the film, which honestly came a lot from Bill's speeches. So like his speeches about character of a man and resilience. Once we kind of found that was the subtext and the foundation, so anything that didn't really play into that world or those ideas, we just had to divorce ourselves from that, from these really amazing moments, no matter what it was, and just kind of stick to the theme of the film and the themes that are presented.
I want to ask one more question before we go to the coach. How did you get the kids to trust you guys in something like this? Because as we can, you know, when we watch the film, you know, trust doesn't go very far. I mean, right down to, you know, Let's just say it ain't easy.
Yeah. No, for sure. And I think, you know, a lot – I think there's two things. One, Bill, the first time we ever showed up to practice, you know, got the team together and said, hey, I've been hanging out with these guys. I wouldn't bring them here. You know, I wouldn't allow them to come here and be on the field if I didn't trust them. Mm-hmm. And they obviously have full trust in Bill. And so I think that helped a lot. And then I also think just our consistency. Like we were there every day, and that we'd go to things that weren't related to football. Like we, you know, there'd be like a talent show at the school, or somebody would be doing something outside of school, and we'd go there. We knew it wasn't most likely going to be in the film, but we were just interested in their lives. And I think that interest, you know, in a community, and that commitment in a community that, you know, maybe Bill can talk about it more, but in a community where there isn't a lot of consistency, I think we became kind of, you know, that trust. Trust. Yeah, I think we earned their trust by our commitment to their stories.
And Bill, how was it for you though to basically have to sell this to these kids that, you know, they're going to be in a documentary, it's going to be about their lives, and the fact that they were able to trust you enough to go through not just the personal stuff, but having that personal stuff on screen like that?
You know, first of all, I wouldn't sell the kids on a thing, and there was no sell. It was, hey guys, this is our sixth year. We've come off a 9-1 season, started with 17 kids. We got 70 kids, started with no wins. We're 9-1, and this is y'all's senior year. This is your chance to do something that's never been done here. This is kind of this is the year. This is our year together. And you know, how do you feel about an opportunity to, no matter what happens in the rest of your life, to be able to look back on your senior year and have something to say, you know, that was us. That's what we were about. So for me, we didn't – I mean, we had no idea if it was going to be a movie, if it was going to be – I mean, we didn't know. We just – three guys from L.A. with cameras, you know. That's really all it was to us. I mean, I still don't know anything about what's going on, you know. I got a microphone in my mouth, and I have no idea what I'm doing here. But the bottom line was, it was a way for the kids to have a yearbook, a video yearbook of what we'd built together over these last 6 years. And that's really what it was about, and the kids bought into it. And the truth is, they were honest, and they earned the kids' respect. And, you know, you've asked some pretty thoughtful questions, because you say, you know, how do you not get – you asked them earlier, how do you not get involved with the movie and keep being movie makers and all that? And there were plenty of times where we would score in a close game, and I'd look down and Dan's jumping around with a camera over his head. And I know he's not filming. He's jumping around screaming. And that was their problem. But the reason I tell you that story is because the kids saw that too. And they say, these kids love us. These guys – so – and then after a few weeks of them being around, you forget they're around, which is absolutely true. You really just forget that they're there. You forget you have a microphone on. You ignore the camera. It's weird as it sounds. It just becomes normal. It's not invasive, and it's not uncomfortable. And had they ever done anything that I thought was going to misconstrue the truth about these kids or do anything that would take away from all that we went through together, I would have run them off. And that was never a threat made to them. I just would have. And there was never even a question of that. They cared about the kids. And I think that's also one of the reasons why they're such good storytellers in this, is because they care. I mean, it means something to them. It's not just a job. It's something that's clearly coming out of their soul. I think that's – so many people talk about it being such a good film. I think that's probably why it's such a good film, is not it's – you know, every once in a while the stars and the moons line up and you get things that just happen, and then they become wonderful because of weird things. I mean, I'm born in Memphis, a Southern guy. These guys, one started in Missouri, one started in Seattle. You know, they come together in L.A., happen to see a small clip about and the commercial appeal all the way in L.A., come together, and then all this starts. And it's just, you know, it just kind of happened, and it's all because of, I think, trust.
And you, Coach. Definitely you. Guys, I got it. Yes, definitely you. And I am not going to let you finish another word. I'm going to stand on that. I know we got to wrap this up. Gentlemen, thank you so much for this interview, and thank you for a wonderful movie. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.